I hope you all had a good week, a good prosperous one, one free of obstacles, free of things that could cause you pain, heartache. Well, it's the Sabbath day, something that we have all been looking forward to, something that we look forward to each and every week, and for what it pictures. I would like to start my message today with a scripture reading. And I want you to open up your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. I want to read something that our Savior said. Chapter 22 and verse 37. I'm sure this is something that we all are very familiar with. It states here, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And then he continues, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, this was an answer that Jesus Christ gave to a Pharisee who asked him a question in verse 36. And that question was this. He politely calls him teacher, and he asks, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, there was an ulterior motive in this Pharisee's asking of this question. And we know by the reading of the Gospels what the Pharisees were trying to do. This particular Pharisee wanted to see if Christ would put one commandment above the other nine. But Christ's answer that he gave in verse 37, he got that answer from two separate sources in the Old Testament. Two separate sources, mind you, from two different books, but he puts them together here. That first part, the part about the first great commandment, he gets that from Deuteronomy 6 in verse 9. And where we see Moses instructing the sons and daughters of Israel to love their God, to love the God that freed them from bondage, and to love him for all the things that he did, that miraculous power that he displayed. And then he got that second part, the one that was just like it. He got that from Leviticus 19 and verse 18, where we see Moses giving instruction to the people of Israel about loving their neighbor, because there was some shenanigans going on with the people there. They wanted to take matters into their own hands and stuff like that, because some of them may have been wronged in some way, but Moses put a stop to that by that decree, love your neighbor. But this answer that Christ gave to this scheming Pharisee, if you will, to put it in a word, it was genius. It was absolute genius to put it that way. Christ's answer places the Ten Commandments of God into two categories, and yet all are of equal stature, each one. And we know why, because breaking of any one comes with the same penalty. So all equal. Now, but I want to concentrate on that, on the first half of his answer today. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This first great commandment Jesus spoke of is, of course, in reference to the first four of the ten that are listed in Exodus 20. I said to you in the past that the first commandment is all about loyalty, and the second about worship, and the third, reverence. But now we come to the fourth. And the fourth commandment, brethren, is one about sanctification and relationship. In this commandment, God instructs his people Israel assembled at the foot of Sinai, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it set apart for holy use in order to draw nearer to God. And we know that in Exodus 16, he gives an example of that. He doesn't call it the Sabbath at that time, but he does call it the seventh day. But let's read that commandment together, right? Let's turn to Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, God gives four scriptures to this commandment. Exodus 20, verse 8 reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Verse 9, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle. Wow, what a loving God we got. Even the animals get a break. Nor the stranger who is within your gates. And then finally in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God packs a lot of substance into this law, I think more so than the other nine. Obedience to it should be our top priority to all whom God has called out from this world. This commandment, when we keep it, ensures a deep, intimate relationship with the great God, the one that we find within the pages of our Bibles. Now, this commandment doesn't begin with the word thou. It doesn't begin with the word you, like the way it is in the King James and the New King James or any other English translated Bible, but instead the word remember. Why is that? Well, we know that God was restoring this precious knowledge to the children of Israel. We know this. And he was doing that with such thunderous authority at Sinai. But there's another matter here. Again, in reference to Exodus 16, and we're going to go in there in a moment, but we know God initiated the Sabbath at creation. At creation, he initiated. And let us look at Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read from the top of this chapter, Genesis chapter 2. And right there in verse 1, it reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." And then in verse 3, he says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made." This is just a rewording of the fourth commandment, but it still packs the same meaning. The word blessed in verse 3 means that the seventh day had God's favor upon it, all over it. I guess there's a way, a vernacular that says his fingerprints was all over, you know, the evidence. Well, his favor was all over it. And think about that for a moment there. The 6 previous days of creation comes in at a distant second compared to the seventh. Now, we know God created many, many great things during those 6 days. And that includes us, man, the human race. And yet this seventh day has God's favor on it. God loved us. He loved us so much. He loved his creation. We were made in his image, in his likeness. He wanted us to share in the joy of the Sabbath day, even though it wasn't called that at that time. Personally, I like to believe that our earthly father, Adam, might have took part in that Sabbath observance, that seventh day observance back at creation. Who knows? Because we know that God put him to work on the eighth day, naming all the creatures of the world. I like to personally think that he did that. I also like to believe that Adam's son, Abel, the one who was killed by a jealous brother, and yet the one whom Jesus Christ himself called righteous, I like to believe that he kept it. And I believe that he truly did. Also Noah, the man who walked with God, the only man who was worth saving before the flood, and by virtue his sons and their wives, in order to continue the human race. I believe Noah definitely kept that Sabbath day. And how about our father Abraham, the father of the faithful? That's you, brethren, the father of the faithful. You're his faithful. You're the faithful. I believe that he kept it. I know he did with all my heart. Isaac, the son of promise, kept it. Jacob, the man who wrestled an all-nighter with the Jesus Christ, who would not let go of his grip on the Lord until he blessed him. I know he kept it. And I'm sure that the man that he became, Israel the man, I'm sure his sons were instructed in this as well, and thereby their children, up until the point of their captivity in Egypt. And then over the course of time, they forgot it. God did a great work through his prophet, through Moses, to get his people out of that captivity. And once they were out, God took over the reins and gave them his law. And he started subtly with the Sabbath day. And he started by going, that what we read in Exodus 16, with the miracle of the manna. The miracle of the manna. Those first 5 days, God miraculously rained down manna from heaven in order to feed each family of each tribe. No family was left wanting. Everyone got exactly what they needed according to the size of the family, each one. On the sixth day, he gave them double the portion. Why? Because he wasn't going to be doing that the next day. Because the next day was the Sabbath. Now, why did he do that? Because, you know, God didn't put the emphasis of Exodus 16 is not on the gathering, but it is on the observance of that seventh day. You know, and he showed his people Israel that he was not going to work a miracle on the seventh day. That was his example to them, and it's his example to us that we should not be doing anything to sustain ourselves. In other words, earning a living on the Sabbath day. God is the supreme example here that we are not to do that. Yes, the fourth commandment, brethren, is indeed all about sanctification and relationship with the great Creator God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, just 2 or 3 years ago, I don't recall when exactly, I gave a message over at the Manhattan site, where I spoke on the Sabbath day there. And I don't know if that was my first message overall, if it was just my first message in Manhattan. But that message was a completely different one. And in that message, the title was The Sign of God, and how the Sabbath day does two particular things. And the first is that the Sabbath identifies the true God, the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that provides for us. And secondly, it shows who his people are in the earth, those who keep his Sabbath the way God wants you to keep it. Let's take that answer that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew 22, verse 37, excuse me. That genius answer that Christ gave to that Pharisee, and let us live it. Let us uphold to it. Let us stay true to it. Whether it be in our words or our actions or both collectively. Because people look, people see. And we cannot put God in a compromised position if we say one thing and do something else. Let us express our loyalty to the great God. Let us go and worship the great God with our hearts and minds ready to receive his truth. Let us revere his mighty name in everything that we do and say. And let us build our relationship and sanctification with our God. And let us do it in spirit and in truth. Happy Sabbath, everyone.